Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on approach. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a clip. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Yes, indeed. Once again, it's on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, GQ Palace. After further review, you know what it is. The mayor's in the building. What's going on, party people? Just want to start out with some breaking news right now as we get down, get ready to get it started. Major League Baseball is about to drop the bomb on these cats. And about 20 players been named in a... I guess it's some kind of scandal in regards to taking steroids and all that. And they got a list out. And it just dropped like in the last 5 minutes. And now Bud Selig has got to deal with it. They knew about it, you know, from maybe a few months back. They said that this list was coming out. And there's some names on the list. Alex Rodriguez from the Yankees. Rand Braun from the Milwaukee Brewers. A couple of other people. Francisco Cervelli, he's on the Yankees. He's on the list as well. Melky Cabrera, when he got caught last year, he was the MVP of the All-Star game last year, then got caught with the banned substances and stuff like that. And so it's about to go down as far as baseball is concerned, man. It's a bunch of people. There was Nelson Cruz from the Texas Rangers. Jesus Montero, he used to play for the Yankees, and now he's on the Seattle Mariners. Johnny Peralta, the Cleveland Indians, and a few other names that are on this list, and they're going to start suspending them, I guess, in the next, you know, few weeks or whatever. So it's something else that Bud Selig has to deal with as far as baseball is concerned. What's going on? The mayor's in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. A lot of stuff going on. Salute and shout out to the Miami Heat for handling their business against the Indiana Pacers last night. We'll get into that in a hot second. I got to give respect in a moment of silence for Deacon Jones, man. He was, one of the all time greats as far as football is concerned. He was basically a little bit before my time, but we came at the tail end of his career, whatever. So he's the one that kind of, you know, made up the term sack, which means that when a quarterback is tackled by a defensive lineman behind the line of scrimmage. He played in the 60s and things of that nature. He was a pioneer as far as, black people playing football or whatever. But they didn't start keeping numbers for sacks until 1982. So imagine how many he would have had if, you know, they would have kept the numbers up. They said he had 100 and 73 and a half for his career, but that was all like unofficial. So just shout out to him, man, you know, for his influence on and off the field. He was entered the Hall of Fame in 1980, and he's just a great player. I mean, he's gonna be missed. A lot of the players from, you know, back in the days and starting to, you know, go now. He is a member of the Fearsome Foursome from the Los Angeles Rams, along with Merlin Olsen. He was a Little House of the Prairie or whatever, and Rosie Greer and Lamar Lundy. So, again, shout out to Deacon Jones, you know, and may you rest in peace. All right, so we're back in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. You got the mayor in the building, man. NBA Finals, you got it finally. It's going to be the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. I said I was going to make my pick tonight, man. I'm not really sure what I want to do yet. The series doesn't start until Thursday night in Miami, so I think that's going to be, feather Miami's cap. But it's really imperative that they win. You know, they go down to San Antonio at least, you know, with a split, you know, because the NBA Finals are different. They schedule the NBA Finals at 2-3-2. So the first two games are going to be in Miami. The middle three games will be in San Antonio. And the final two games, if there's a final two games, if they're needed, will be back in Miami. So it's going to be imperative for the Heat to, keep their home court. Because the three in San Antonio, the series could end down there. It's going to be a good series. As of right now, I don't know. It's a toss-up, you know. Everybody's saying that, you know, LeBron is doing it by himself now, which I don't think really is the case, you know. It just happens that when, you know, two out of the big three, when they have off nights, that's going to get noticed a lot more. And LeBron is, you know, very rarely going to have an off night. And if he doesn't have an off night, it'll be in a game situation, you know. And, definitely Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh have to step up. But Udonis Haslem has to step up, you know what I mean. Birdman has to definitely, you know, keep his wits about himself, you know what I mean, so he doesn't get suspended. But San Antonio, you know, they've been there before. So it's a situation where Tim is trying to, you know, get one more. You know, him and Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know, he's got some young boys with him too. You know what I mean? Kawhi Leonard, you know, and they're going to do their thing. It's going to be a great series. I'm not going to pick who I think is going to win the series as of yet. I still have to look at some things, and I just got a funny feeling. You know, I was thinking about it earlier today. I said, well, Miami might beat San Antonio. But I'm not – all the scenarios that I'm going over in my head, I'm not seeing Miami winning the series. But I'm still not making any pick yet. I just, you know, just going over some things and looking at it from an analytical perspective. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a great series. I just think that the things that Indiana did to lose games, San Antonio won't do. So, which basically says Miami can't play the same type of ball they did early against Indiana. You know, when Miami was pushed to the wall, that's when they turned on the afterburners, and LeBron was like, if you're not with me, you're going to get left, and he did his numbers. You know, Indiana, you know, they'll be back. You know, they'll be back. It just wasn't their season, and, you know, they went as far as they could go, you know, without Danny Granger. You know, I think if they'd have had Danny Granger, it would have been a, you know, different story. But again, Game 7, you can't complain. They had a great season. And I guess Miami wasn't going to be denied. So now I think that David Stern can, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, because I don't think he wanted Indiana, you know, San Antonio NBA final to be his last final. You know, I think he wanted to go out with a bang, and this is definitely the best final that he could get, you know, due to the circumstances. So Miami, San Antonio is going to be great. It's going to be great drama. I think it's going to be a big series. I think that a lot of names will be made in this series. I think that the pressure is going to be on LeBron and them, and I think that San Antonio just has to, you know, just play ball and show up. And you know, even this time we'll really get to see everybody on the court, because the first time they were supposed to play this season, Popovich, who's the coach of San Antonio, he gave Tim Duncan and I think it was Ginobili or Parker the night off, and they were playing the Heat. And I think Miami did the same thing with turning the favor when they were down to play San Antonio Spurs. So, yo, man, it's gonna be a good series. Looking forward to it on Thursday night, tipping off game one in the NBA Finals, Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. 646-200-3838 is the math to call. Let's get it in, man. Let's talk about some things. Talk about the Yankees. And I just think it's the beginning of the end for them. Hopefully it's not. Right now they're up 4-0 over the Cleveland Indians. But I just think, yeah, Mark Teixeira came back, hit a home run. He's doing decent since he came back. But I just think that everybody still has to, you know, do what they do and keep treading water until at least Jeter comes back and Granderson comes back, and we'll have, you know, the majority of our lineup together. We're 2.5 games behind Boston right now. They're having a surprise. Well, I wouldn't really consider Boston having a surprising season. They went out and got some bats. Their pitching was decent. So they're playing, you know, up the par. They're not really surprising anybody. The surprise of the American League East is Baltimore and Toronto. You know, Toronto was supposed to, you know, win the World Series. I had them pick to win the division. They're 10.5 games out. 9 games under 500, which means that they're 9 games below being, you know, even. Jose Reyes is going to be out until at least the All-Star break. And everybody's having off years, you know. And the pitching, they loaded up on pitching, but nobody's really doing good. We got our first caller in the building. Slate, long time no hear from. What's good, my dude? Welcome to the bigger show. What's poppin'?
What's going on,
man? We got to have a floor for Slate because, you know, Slate ain't been on in a minute. But it's good to have you back, my G. What's going on?
Same old, just calling to check the show. This is where it's at. You know, I had to say peace to my homie and, you know, just calling and see what's good. It's been a minute, like you said.
Yes, sir. No doubt. I know I'm going to get you on a couple of things right quick while I got you on the line. What's your opinion on the NBA Finals?
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It should be good. You know, nobody gives the Spurs a chance, but they got to punch this chance. You know what I'm saying? Unlike Indiana, where Indiana was so big and thuggish, San Ann, I think, got the shooters, man. Miami plays defense. When they turn it up, they play some hella 5D. But San Ann, they got the shooters to nullify that. Now, don't get me wrong. I still think the Heat's going to win. You know what I'm saying? LeBron is just playing out of his mind. I'm no LeBron fan at all. Don't get it twisted.
Right,
I'm a Kobe
fan.
Die hard. But LeBron is on another level right now. I got to give him props where it's due because Wade isn't playing. Bosh isn't playing. I mean, LeBron is that dude. If you ask me, it's LeBron and the Birdman. Mm. They're doing their thing right now. It is what it is.
Do you think that 2-3-2, how the games are going to be situated out, do you think that would be to San Antonio's advantage? At least, you know, if they know if they can get the first two, one of the first two games, they're going home for the next three.
Exactly. That format is always real freaky to me because, you know, if you can luck up and win one, then it's another one at that opponent's court, but then you got home for three.
Right.
And everybody's talking about the rust. I mean, the rust plays a factor basically in any situation. But I think in this particular situation, it's going to help the Spurs. They're an older team. They got a lot of stuff to
invent. That's right.
And that rest could do nothing but help. And everybody seems to forget. You know, I can't stand San Antonio, you know, Lakers all day. But they ain't never been this healthy, man. They always come wobbling into the playoffs all the time. This is the first time their whole squad is healthy.
Mm.
So I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know what I mean? Definitely.
Right.
It should be a goodie. But nobody gives them a chance, and I think it's going to be closer than everybody thinks.
It's definitely going to be closer than everybody thinks because I feel as if I haven't made my pick yet, but every scenario that I had go through my mind, I see the Spurs winning. Hold on 1 second, Slate. We got another call on. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's good?
Nothing. How are you?
Everything's everything. Hold on 1 second. Slate, man, every situation that I see in regards to the finals, man, I haven't picked the winner yet, but every situation I see the Spurs, you know, making it happen. They're not going to play, you know, and make the mistakes that Indiana did, okay? Indiana made a lot of foolish mistakes. They might have been minor or within the flow of the game, but late game situations, Indiana kind of like, you know, they gave it up. You know what I mean? And I don't think San Antonio would make those, you know, those kind of, you know, those basketball mistakes, you know?
They shouldn't, but all of the veterans they have, they should be able to, you know, hold it down if it gets down to that. If they get a lead down the stretch, the Heat is in trouble.
Mm.
They better get their little 10-point spread and hold on to it. If it comes down to that close joint, they're going to shut down LeBron by any means necessary, and all these guys who didn't do anything, they're going to have to step up, and I don't think they will.
Hold on 1 second. We got Ziggy. Ziggy, what's good? Welcome to the biggest show, my dude.
What's up?
All right. So I just think that, again, like you said, the Spurs are a veteran-laden team, man, and, you know, it's the mistakes, and those are going to, you know, loom larger, you know, especially in this series, because the Spurs are going to feast on those mistakes. You know, they're going to take advantage of those mistakes. And, again, you know, when you see that a lot of talk about LeBron not having any help and, you know, Wade and Bosh not showing up, that's going to be intensified and glared even more when you're playing a team that's not going to make those mistakes, that's not going to give you no outs.
That's the one thing I'm not trying to hear, Mayor, is that LeBron don't have no help. Did I bump my head or something? Wasn't this the big three during that 20-something game stretch and this and that and so forth? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear that now. I'm a Lakers fan once again.
Wow.
I'm a Lakers fan. You can't tell me about injuries or none of that. Handle that.
Wow.
You the man. You try to do your thing.
You
I still don't think
it.
Nobody's going to beat LeBron. That's just me.
Hey.
He's on another level right now. He's doing his thing.
Miami is, in the last 30 years, out of the NBA champions, Miami is the most disrespected team of all NBA champions of all time. They got something to prove because everybody's against them now.
Well, I don't know.
You know what?
Let
me say this. Hold on. Let me say this one second. The pressure, I was saying this before Game 7 last night, yo. I think that
Miami hated this team, please.
For their legacy, for them to even talk about having some kind of legacy, man, they have to get this thing done.
Oh, yeah.
They
got to
get it done, because if they don't
get
it done, you know, the first thing that came out of my mouth last night was like, if Indiana win this game, Miami Heat are going to be recognized and remembered as short season champs. And I said that even before the season started. Miami needs to win a championship in a regular season. And that's all it is to that. That's all it is to it. Miami, they talk the talk. You take them to the edge of the water, and what happens when you get there? This is not the Indiana Pacers that Miami's going up against. I'm just saying that, you know, regardless.
Once again, I think they're going to win. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to hear that they don't have no big three now all of a sudden because of one series. They didn't have no shooters. The big three was all that when they was winning 20-something in a row.
It don't matter.
They was all that.
It's at the point where it don't even matter about the big three. As long as two more other people stand up, it don't stand up.
Regardless of who the other two are, right?
It don't even matter. All right, you know, Bosh and Wade, they can disappear. As long as you got somebody else doing 20, two more folks doing 20 like Chalmers or Cole or even Ray Allen, it don't even matter.
Birdman is playing.
It don't matter because LeBron is on another level right now. He's playing just like everybody keep comparing him to. Everybody keep comparing him to MJ. His game is not like MJ. His game is like Magic. He's a Magic Johnson, a modern Magic Johnson with better DNA. He gets everybody else off.
I mean, that's where I would compare him to, as far as, you know, his game. He gets everybody. He gets everybody else involved in the game. Okay, so, I mean, you can't really just stand around and watch him, you know what I mean, when you're
because
playing with him.
Because he's the type of superstar, he sets the table. He pretty much knows what, if he feels like he got to get off, you know, sometimes I always be like, dang, you know, his light switch comes on too late. But I had to come and realize that he has to get everybody else off first, because he feel like he can get his off anytime he wants.
He can. I just don't get him, like, if he stays in the box in the paint, he'll score 100 points.
Nobody.
He'll back into 100 points. Nobody's stopping him down there. He's too big, fast, and strong. He's a bad matchup for everybody. But for some reason, let him hit one jumper. Now he wants to show everybody his crossover. He wants to shoot threes. When if he stays in the paint, I don't care. Hibbert, his uncle, his father on his brother's side, it don't matter. He's going to score 100 points. But like I said, we'll see. The Spurs, they've been there, done that too. You know what I mean?
Well, the Spurs can act funny too, because Pop, he will sit. Hey, he gets to the point where sometimes, like he did in Game 4, he sat everybody down. You know, so it's not like the Spurs are just a state of consistency all the time. They can't lay an egg.
Oh, definitely. I just told you. That's the mayor. I said, my money's on LeBron. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, that's just what it is. I done lost too much money on this clown already. So, I'm just saying, I want the Spurs to win. But If I had to bet, it would be on the King.
And then, he's already motivated enough because he already remembered what happened in 07.
In 07, he ain't had nobody. So I don't know how he got to the finals and he ain't had no help. So
He put him on the back. I remember in that closeout game against the Pitt, hell, he scored 28 in the fourth. He literally put them on their back. So
you know what I love about LeBron? And I don't love much about him, but the one thing I love about LeBron, where I think he's different than Kobe and this and that, and I hate those comparisons, because to me, you have to wait till the careers is over to compare.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't pick and choose which stats you want to flip on. Oh, well, LeBron is averaging this, LeBron is averaging that. And then Laker fans will say, well, Kobe got rings and this and that. You have to either add it all in the pot or none of it in the pot. Like, you can't pick which ingredients you want to cook with. So that's why I say wait till the careers is over, then compare. Because when it comes to putting that ball in the hole with the game on the line in crucial final situations, there is no one better. I'm 42 years old. There's no one better that I've personally seen in my era than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You need a basket, put it in the hole. I'm going with Mike every time. Six MVPs, undefeated. Remember, LeBron is, how many chips he been to? Three. He's one out of three so far. Mike was perfect, unblemished. Say what you want. That can't be argued. We could talk about beliefs all week. Facts can't be argued. And when it comes to that, Michael was the best. But all-around game, changing the game, the breed of man and all that, LeBron is like that new breed, yo. And I give props when it's due. And you can say what you want about him being not a clutch guy and all that's out the window now. LeBron is the man. That's his team. D-Wade is falling off, which I love, because it shows you how good my dog is, Kobe, 17 years, first NBA all-team, still starting, tied with Karl Malone with 11 first, you know, all-NBA team starters. So it just lets me know just how good the Black Mamba is. 17 years and still kicking, and he will come back because he's too arrogant not to. But not to get off track, LeBron is that dude. Right now, I got to give it to him. He's that guy. But like the mayor said, if he doesn't win, we can talk what-ifs all week. It won't make a difference. He has to win. He has to pull it through by any means necessary. Like the brother said, I don't care who helps him. Somebody better step up. But don't tell me they ain't got a big three when they had a big three all year. This is the time. It's crunch time. This is where champions are made of. Get it done. Like Stephen A. would say, get it done.
And you don't stop. No doubt. So, man. It's gonna be a good finals again. Like I said, I see, you know, it kind of it going down. You know, it's gonna go back to Miami. I'll just say that right now. I'm not picking anybody to win yet. But I just know this is gonna go back to Miami. They're gonna play the first two, then they're gonna play that three out in San Antonio, then it's gonna come back to Miami. And I don't know what's gonna happen there, but. We here, man. 646-200-3838, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. I got my man Slade in the building. I got Rodney Z on the check-in from Michigan and all that. And, of course, Key is in the house. I wanted to speak for a hot second, switch some gears, about these people, these NCAA people, man. Specifically, Rutgers and my man at Ohio State, Gordon G. You know, I just feel like, you know, it's little brother and big brother is watching everybody. You can't really, you know, say what you want to say no more without it being, you know, construed as some, you know, some nonsense. But this guy Gordon G from Ohio State, that's his MO.
He was in a private room though.
Nothing's private, my dude. Nothing is private no more, man. You know what I'm saying?
They try to get you
with any the littlest thing you say. Now in this situation, he has a history of putting his foot in his mouth.
Hey, got long.
You know
history.
What I mean? And he's from the good old. He's like the head of that good old boy network. He's one of them dudes that's keeping, you know, this smoke and mirrors going on about this NCAA playoff situation. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They think Ohio State is the be all the end all. okay? They're not going to make no moves without involving Ohio State any type of way. Now, I'm not the one that's going to be like, oh, he said something about the Catholics or whatever, because the Catholics have their own problems, you know what I mean, which will be discussed on other shows. But you can't say the stuff that he was saying and expect for it to just be swept under the rug and this, you just rock with your little bow tie on and your little glasses and all that.
Pardon me, brother, man. Fill me in. I don't see the
aggression. Okay, the president, well, he used to be the president of Ohio State, Gordon G. You know, he's one of the so-called minority. You know what I mean? He's one of them. He ain't one of us. Okay. He's had a history of running off at the mouth, putting his foot in his mouth, putting other schools down, and really just, you know, his arrogance comes off as too much arrogance, which could be construed as racism or other kind of ism, whatever you want to put behind it. You know what I'm saying? So he said a statement. He was on the phone. It was in a meeting, or he was in a gathering where he said something about Notre Dame, referring to them as those damn Catholics. They're holy on Monday through Thursday, and on Friday through Sunday they're holy as hell. And
holy,
you know,
yep.
And he was trying to be funny, and they just didn't think it was too funny. Now he's got to step down, and he's talking about now all of a sudden he's decided to move on, and you know, he was thinking about retiring for a long time. No, you wasn't. No, you wasn't. No, you wasn't. You was
he
not
got,
thinking
got,
about
he
no retirement.
He also said the SEC don't know how to read and write. They got to learn how to read and write.
Well,
he got Rick Pitino after him.
Yeah, Rick Pitino got tattoos now, so Rick Pitino gonna start running off at the Yap.
He got
tattoos now, but yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, he pissed that in Calipari's piss too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he just put his foot in it, and it's just a situation where all this little backdoor conversations that they used to have about whatever and wherever and whoever, now those conversations, we're privy to those conversations now. It's like we're in the room with them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he, you know, you got to watch what you say or whatever. You trying to get all this money. You trying to come off as this prestigious institution where you're better than everybody. And then you're saying, you know, behind closed doors, the stuff that we know that you're saying, and you trying to pretend that you're not. You just, you know, you busted yourself. So, and that's not even as worse as the situation that's going on at Rutgers. They want to hire the dude that they just let go. They want to bring him back.
Wow.
That's
the
Rutgers' fault, though. They should have did their homework. The same way the reporter found out about her indiscretions 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Rutgers did the same thing. Don't hire them. They don't vet people.
They don't waste the money in vetting them and making sure having somebody do an extensive background check on everybody they hire. Rutgers must want to do that, and that's how they got caught up again.
If they don't do their due diligence, then you can't come around after the fact and say, well, oh, we didn't know, so now we got to let you go. But that's your fault, because they shouldn't have hired her in the first place.
But she's in town next week, because she get hired this week coming up. And I know Big Ten president is coming to Rutgers this week, too, because it's going to be interesting, because he's coming this week to Rutgers.
Hmm.
Well, the other reason why, if this would have been any other year, this would have been swept up under the rug. The reason why Rutgers is putting so much pressure on them now is because the Big Ten is putting pressure on Rutgers.
I don't think Rutgers should have anything to do with the Big Ten.
Rutgers ain't ready for the Big Ten. They don't want them to have no mess with them.
Big Ten is not even doing none of that. He's coming out here to meet with her because she's the new AD. He has nothing to do with that. He's coming out here.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's two different things, at the end of the day, Rutgers want to holler at the Big Ten and Big Ten want to holler at Rutgers. But my thing is, why is Rutgers messing with the Big Ten all of a sudden?
Rutgers just came up in the last seven, eight years.
Rutgers just came up. Ray Rice just left there. Rutgers got put on the map. Shout out to C. Vivian Stringer, the women's basketball coach at Rutgers. Shout out to C. Vivian Stringer, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? But she was there way before Rutgers got noticed like they got nothing in the last 5 or 6 years. Straight like that. No disrespect to Rutgers. Now all of a sudden Rutgers is this big time school. they want to leave the conference and this and that, but you can't leave the conference with all that mud on your feet. You don't even know who you hiring. You know, you got the basketball coaches choking everybody up. He lighting them up with basketball,
yo,
making them cry and all that.
That's crazy. Like, we all play sports, and I really don't know. Then again, yeah, I can see why them kids didn't flip and snap his neck. And
yeah.
That's simply because you're not going to mess up that full ride. Like, everybody's
right.
Like, oh, if I was there, I would have did. No, you wouldn't have. If you was getting a full ride through that program, you would not flip until you know you were secure.
Slay, let me hit you with the uwab though. Let me hit you with the uwab. Bust it. The dudes that Mike Rice was like was really disrespected and going after, and this goes right to your point, my dude. The dudes that he was attacking and going after were like transfers from like out of the country.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So again, like you said, if he would have went at somebody that understood the culture and wasn't having that, we would have had another Sprewell on our hands because somebody would have got choked up. Somebody would have got choked up. So it was a situation where, like you said, their scholarship is on the line. You know, they're thinking big picture. They don't want to, you know, make it an incident or a situation. You know what I mean?
Until I seen the ball, I thought he was a dodgeball coach. I didn't know that was an official sport. I'm seeing him hit people in the back of the head.
But they brought dodgeball back.
I'm like, yo, what is up with this dude? Like,
yeah,
he was getting high. So, if they didn't drug test him, they need to. He was getting high. You don't do that. Like, you can. I've been spit in the face accidentally, you know, when somebody's just going at you verbally and disrespected as a man and all that, you know, to a certain extent. But
right. The
dodgeball thing, listen here, man. I haven't seen nothing like it. I was bugging when I first
seen
it.
Let me just give you another example how, as like we're saying right now, that wouldn't fly in certain situations, because you got Mike Montgomery. He was the coach of California basketball. Remember when he got into a situation, I forgot the name of his player. He kind of pulled on him and Duke was like, hold up, and it was at a game.
Yeah,
he tried to get fly with him, and the dude was like, "Yo," and his teammate had to come over there and be like, "Yo," he had to take him into the tunnel, like, "Yo, you can't do that."
he pushed him back.
He was getting ready to get at him, like, you know, and that goes right to your point. It's certain they know what they're doing. It's certain people that they go, you know what I mean? They go, you know, try to, you know, like, this is what you do, and this is, you know, it's my way or the highway, or I'm gonna disrespect you, I'm gonna beat you down,
yeah.
And just. You know what I mean? You can't do that to everybody. Everybody ain't having that.
But look, he's not that type of coach. He's not that type of coach. And he did choke him up, but after that game, he put California won that game, though.
But you know what, though? When I looked at it, I looked at it the first time, I was like, oh, snap. Then I looked at it the second time, I was like, oh, snap. But then it goes back to what Slate was saying. I'm not going to let you play me. Okay, I did what I was told. Okay, I could take some coaching. You could coach me now. You could definitely. I am coachable, but you're not gonna scream on me and bark on me and put your hands on me like.
We've all been reprimanded, but there's a way that you do it. And
that's
the same Mike Montgomery that was coaching for Stanford.
Well, it was Mike Montgomery.
No.
Mike McGuire, you know what, that incident right there, like I said, it was wrong. He apologized or whatever, but he, because his team wasn't like, I don't know, but he did so, you know, like, he didn't trouble, he just smacked him up for his face.
But what do you think at the end of the day that Rutgers and Ohio State should do? I mean, because it's all a means to an end. Like Rodney said, you know, they trying to get their Big Ten, they trying to, you know, make their slate look clean. No pun intended.
Realize, man.
You know what
and
I'm
you
saying?
You got to realize, too, Penn State just,
you know that,
State
you
didn't
know
make it no better.
Saying.
Penn State didn't make it no better for everybody.
You're never guilty until you're caught, that old saying. You know, they didn't have no choice. Once it blew up all over the airwaves, they didn't have no choice but to let him go or reprimand him severely. Because that might have just been the norm. Like you're a product of your environment. It's all about what you're used to. If that's how he got down and they was condoning that, then, hey, far be it for me to sprinkle rice in the water.
And his old man blew him up.
Me,
his own, his own,
Don't throw the ball in somebody's head.
Like, he was, I couldn't believe it. Like, he's throwing it like guys is running away from him after he reprimanded him verbally, and he's taking the ball with two hands and hitting dudes in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Then one guy, he tells him to come over, and the guy is walking over, and it's a brother, mind you, which I really didn't understand. And then he took it and threw it straight and hit the dude like near his glove.
It ain't funny. But like, I'm like, dang,
like,
yo, what's
the
difference?
I mean,
oh,
like,
man.
Imagine you
witnessing that.
He made Bob Knight look like a saint.
Nah.
I'd rather witness that rather than go
No. Bobby Knight was not.
He was able to do that back in the 70s and 80s when Bobby Knight was able to do that back then when nobody really didn't care or everybody didn't
Bobby
have a
Knight
cell
was
phone.
Doing that. Bobby Knight was doing it and getting away with it because he was winning. If Bobby Knight wasn't winning, Bobby Knight would have been out of there too. You see what they did? You see how they did? I'm gonna go back. You see what they did, Woody Hayes? Okay, when Woody Hayes, when they was playing, when Ohio State was playing Clemson in that bowl game,
yeah,
and the dude
yeah.
ran on the side, and Woody Hayes grabbed him up and tried to beat the dude. I don't know what that was about. They hurried up and got rid of him, and he was there for Utter. He was at Ohio State for Utter. It was all about Woody Hayes. But when you make a transgression like that, my dude, it's a wrap for you. It's a wrap. So, but as far as you know, what Mike Rice did was really, really, really messed up in the grand scheme of things. But yo, that wasn't nothing on what Bobby Knight did. He was he choked up the dude. I forgot his last name. His first name was Neil. He choked him up. You remember when he threw the chair across the court? Bobby Knight was a no joke. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But like you said, they let him get away with that because he was winning. And you know, Indiana, what they gonna do? They gonna get rid of Bobby Knight? But as he got older. And Indiana wasn't winning no more. They wasn't trying to hear that. He was playing himself. Now he think he could curse people out in the hallway, talk, you know, and disrespect females and stuff. They're not going for that. That's off the court. So now you got to go. Your days is over.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and there's a lot of those coaches and people they do like that. They try to get them out on bad situations. Go ahead.
Under the rug.
Yes, sir.
If you ain't doing nothing, see you later.
Yeah.
But
I
just bugged out. Like, I couldn't believe they wasn't at dodgeball practice. That's just what
that dodgeball practice.
That to me was my sport headline of the year. I'm like, yo, I couldn't. I still can't believe it. Like, that was crazy.
And Mike Rice had a history. So, like you said earlier, if they had done their due diligence, they wouldn't have really hired Mike Rice. So I get what is Rutgers doing in their process as far as hiring people? It's like, okay, you say you got something blah blah blah, and there you go. Now you got.
She don't plan on resigning. She doesn't plan on resigning.
She doesn't plan on resigning.
But when he coming in for I think Delaney is the Big Ten commissioner. He's coming in this week to Rutgers. She don't plan on resigning.
Why should she resign?
I'm saying, I understand,
but I'm like, why should it even be any? The pressure should all be on Rutgers.
Right. The governor of our great state
says he's behind Rutgers' decision. Because he's got a hand in it now because of the incident and stuff like that. Rutgers, it's in Rutgers' hands right now. So
no doubt.
They're going to do it. But she said she's not resigning. The board of governors, they can just put that out. So she, you know.
True.
But
yo, 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Again, 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get it on the conversation. It's going down. Yeah, I just can't call what these schools are doing, man. It's all about trying to, you know, make one look better than the other or make one look worse than the other, but you just behind the scenes doing all types of nonsense, you know.
Ohio State is because of the money. They're not doing such a good job
as convincing everybody why it should keep separate the students from the money. That's all they're trying
to
do, man.
Right.
Look at the big picture. All they're doing is separating They want to keep a buffer between the students and the money. That's it.
You saw Big Ten. You saw Big Ten money. I think it was $138 million. That's gonna be split between the schools.
I see the SEC gonna get $20.7 million a piece.
Yeah, but everybody's not getting that. Yeah, but you know, you saw Saban win a nine games. Nine conferences.
But the SEC don't run nothing though. The SEC don't run that, and like
what?
You said again, it's a money grab.
That's the reason why
everybody's
trying to. That's why all the other conferences, especially football, is trying to line themselves up like the SEC, because
mm-hmm.
SEC got their own network, CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Don't know other games come on CBS but SEC games.
Right.
And they also got a contract with ESPN to at least show two games a night on Saturday. So SEC has been doing their thing for the last 20 years, and that's why everybody's trying to catch
What does that leave the Big 12? What does that leave? You know,
breaking
the,
up.
The Pac-12.
Everybody trying to leave the Big 12.
But I thought they were trying to, everybody's trying to join the other conferences, like the Big 12. They got and the ACC.
Texas A&M and Missouri.
I like the
Big
12.
Look at Texas A&M and Missouri. If they trying to stay, they would have never left.
Texas A&M and Missouri. I got you on that, but Texas A&M and Missouri, you can't give me no bigger name than that. I'm not worried about Texas A&M and Missouri leaving the Big 12. If you say
they only leave the 18,
you say,
though, Mayor.
Especially
they're not the Big 12. They only have 18s now. They lose the revenue, so it could be the little sisters on the floor.
As long as you got Texas and Oklahoma, you ain't gonna lose no revenue.
You're not gonna lose no revenue.
As long as you got Texas and Oklahoma, you're not going to lose no revenue. Now, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It was a money grab for them. They went and joined the SEC, a power conference. Now, watch how many conference titles Texas A&M, you know what I mean, Texas A&M win.
Not too many.
Oh, and see, they got to suffer. They got to go through the suffering. That's the point why joining that conference. They got a bigger name. Like you said, all their games are going to be on ESPN and CBS.
They got bigger revenue.
They're going to get seen every weekend. They're going to get seen every weekend. They got the Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, Texas A&M is going to make some noise with that little...
But Texas A&M is in the same division in the SEC West with Alabama, LSU,
Arkansas, Auburn,
Mississippi State. So they gonna have problems. Texas A&M is gonna have, and Missouri's in the same conference, in the same division with Georgia, Florida, South Carolina,
Tennessee.
Kentucky. I ain't really counting them. They stink. I ain't worried about them. But, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to go through their lumps. So, yeah, they hurried up and got out of the Big 12, took that money to go to the SEC. They're going to take their lumps, and you're right. But you know what? If once Texas or Oklahoma leave, there ain't going to be no need for no Big 12 no more.
But this is not everybody. The scholarships are different now. They don't have – the scholarships are now reduced. Everybody, you don't have Texas and Oklahoma like they were 30 years ago, where you have fourth string people that's willing to sit on the bench because they play for Texas and Oklahoma. Everybody wants to play now, so it's totally different, you know.
But you don't see, players transferring in football like they do in basketball.
That's the difference.
Okay,
that's
you got players transferring
to
basketball like they free agents.
Everybody wants to play.
The kid Shane Larkin that left Miami. He went to turn pro. They went and got the guard from Kansas State, went to replace him. So in basketball, that works. You can hop from team to team to team to team to team. You can't do that in football.
But in football, you're not about to be able to tell his kid to sit down for 2 years, wait behind this guy for 2 years, and then you'll play. No, everybody wants to play now. This is the microwave society. They want to play.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So if you can't get in the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Floridas of the world, you could go to the Vanderbilts.
Right.
You could go to the Auburn because you're going to get seen every weekend regardless.
And you get some playing time. It's all about, the kids do not want to sit for those 2 or 3 years and wait behind nobody. And wait, second and third.
I see that in basketball. That makes sense because they're not staying two years in school. They're leaving after 1 year. But in football, I get what you're saying, but in football, what other choice do you have unless you're going to decide to transfer and then sit out that year and wait, you know what I mean, waste a year?
That's the NCAA rule.
You understand what I'm saying?
But let me tell you something. But when a coach has a recruit, when he comes to your house and sit down in your living room and tell you what y'all playing TV every weekend, or y'all, what kind of playing time you get? Now you tell a kid that, you're gonna have to sit to such and such and such and such. It's gonna take you 2 years to get on the field. He gonna look somewhere else.
Okay.
I don't care how much.
Let me speak to your
Alabama,
point.
He gonna look
how somewhere. How good is this kid we talking about? Let me speak to your point. Mm-hmm. How good is he?
If he's a four star, at least a four star.
Okay.
He's not gonna want to sit there. Every kid is not gonna want to sit behind and sit on a bench for 2 years.
Okay. We gonna go with your four star athlete, right? We gonna put him in the SEC. All right. So you got Georgia came knocking on his door, right? Mark Richt came knocking on his door, right?
Sure.
Then Steve Spurrier came knocking on his door, right? Right. Right? Then Nick Saban comes knocking on his door, right? Right?
Right.
So then the kid from the Texas A&M coach comes knocking on his door and says, you know what? You might have to sit behind the Heisman winner for a year because we're not sure if Johnny Manziel is going to stay. If they're at your house recruiting you, they already know. They know he got 1 foot out the door in the first place. So you know you're not going to get no burn from Georgia because they already set. Florida set. Alabama set. LSU was set. Everybody else is set. You want to settle for Texas A&M or Bung Mung. Guess what? Your man comes knocking on your door from Oklahoma. Stoops comes knocking on your door. You can start here. So
and
you want to play on TV
Oklahoma
every weekend, or you want to play,
though.
Or you want to start in the Big 12?
They just want to play. They wants to be seen. Oklahoma is on TV too now.
I got your point. I understand. a lot of these colleges and schools got their own networks. I got you.
And then just everything. And all these schools are all about academics. But if you think you want to get on there and play, don't go to school. Look at Tim's down in UPA. Look at those.
Hey, that's a whole other story about if you want. That's a whole other story if you study.
It's the same thing. You thought somebody would be on TV? Yeah, be on TV and go to school.
Okay, that's a whole
other
story, though.
It's the same thing. It's
that's
the same
only
thing.
Kid that
you
want
to be on TV?
Not.
Yeah, well, look at Ghost. He ain't on TV now, right? He ain't on TV. And he want to be on TV, but look, he ain't on TV
To me, that's a good example. Because I think
example.
If Everett Golson would have went to another school, if he would have went to another school outside besides Notre Dame or whatever, and that situation would have happened, like you said, Slate, they might try to sweep it under the rug or whatever. But you had Notre Dame.
Ain't playing that mess. Academic.
Notre Dame ain't having that. So regardless, didn't he decide them in a championship game against Alabama? Wasn't they playing in the championship game in January? Wasn't they? Was they not playing in the championship game in January? Where they was playing against Alabama. Everett Golson was a quarterback, and Matt Tatea was a linebacker for Notre Dame. I'm just saying, it's a lot on the schools. Again, it starts with the schools. It starts at the schools, and it ends with the schools, right? But, the kids are, I'm not even going to call them kids, man. They're grown. They're learning about life. They're about to experience life and deal with life. So if you want to be that type of person that you already know that your bread is buttered on the field, but off the field, you got some work to do. If you decide to cut corners and do it the other route, and then you get bagged for it, that's totally on you.
Who said anything about not going to class?
In Everett Golson's case, you can assume what you want because he said it himself. His transgressions. He didn't get specific, but
how many of us at 18 and 19 made mistakes?
But how many others went to championship games in January? He had his whole situation set out for him. He was
set
straight.
Out. plain
and straight,
simple.
My dude. That,
all
that's
he had to do was go to school.
That's all he had to do was go to school.
That's it. That's it.
But that's on him, though. I
yeah,
mean,
it, I mean, that's what we
what
said,
I'm
my brother.
Though,
that's what we
what
said.
Is, you cannot sit nobody. Nowadays, it's not like it is where it was in 1970, where you could, where Michigan could stockpile 100 players and then just beat up on Northwestern and beat
but
up on Illinois.
But you're free to go
Illinois
where you want to go. You can go where you want to go. Look
that's
at,
what
look,
I was trying
to. You can go where you. Look at the kid that left Penn State and went to USC, the running back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His name escapes me now. But look at that kid. He left Penn State because, you know, the situation that was going, which is totally right. He did the, you know, the free agent thing. You know what I mean? He left, which
my,
is his right.
My
but look what happened.
Whole,
okay, you're
going to
play, you gonna play with Matt Barkley. You're going to do this. You gonna, Silas Red is his name. Okay? And he left on his own volition. No problem with that, my dude. But what we're saying is, if it was a if it wasn't that circumstance that he was dealing that he had to deal with at Penn State, it would have been like, yo, nah, you can't just up and leave and go somewhere else. You can't do that. But now, in the days where the, you know, the kids are saying, the kids are waking up, they're like, yo, check this out. If the coach could come here and tell me he gonna be here for throughout my career and then turn around and leave, why I can't do it? That's where the game gets messed up. How you going to tell me I got to stay here for 4 years when you taking the if somebody offer you $5 more, you out. This is my dream job, and I always wanted to coach the kids here, and this and this and this and that. Come on, yo. All you doing, is hovering until the next situation comes. Ask Lane Kiffin. Ask Lane Kiffin. That's all you do. So what kind of kid is supposed to take heed of what you say when Lane Kiffin comes to my house? I'm looking at him sideways. I'm giving him Kool-Aid out the Welch's jelly glass.
That's why if you say, look, that's why if you say, I know this cat is like Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
If you say, hey, if a kid come in your house and you know he got a track record and he's a coach and he's got a track record of leaving, jumping from institution to institution, you're going to want to play right then and there. You're going to be like, forget that. I want to play because I want to be seen.
I hear you. I just feel any
guy that got a parent that knows sports is not going to send their child to no school regardless of his status, and that coach is not right. So you're going to do your research.
That's right.
Any parent, you're going to do your research. Only a fool goes to school with something else to do. Because I got family members. My cousins, I got cousins going to be seniors in high school. They're right here in New Jersey or whatever. You think my uncles and I ain't in their son's business and they know what schools or whatever? They and these coaches know what these coaches doing. What parent is not?
And again, back to your point, Rodney Z, what you were saying about it's not like, you know, back in the days or whatever. That goes to your point. It's not like back in the days. You're not going to impress me with, okay, I went to this many title games. Like, if Bear Bryant came walking to your house, God bless the dead. You know what I mean? If John Robinson from USC came walking into your house, or if Harris Schellenberger came walking into your house, you would just be like, oh, snap, one of these great coaches, I'm going to this school because they're interested in me. No, like you said, now you want to see how many times I'm going to be on TV. What kind of bowl game we going to go to? So like you said, the kids are doing as much, you know, research as the coaches are doing. So, again, you know, like you said, you're never going to stockpile like a Nebraska. You're never going to see that no more. You're never going to see, you know what I mean? You're never going to see Miami have a 20-year run. I used to wonder how they did it.
There's no kid, but when they played for Ohio State, that Ohio State was going to get sanctioned and can't play no bowl game this year. And they were going to be
Urban Meyer, still had them undefeated, though. They still was undefeated. They still was undefeated.
No kid that wanted to go to Ohio State and want to be seen thought they were going to be sanctioned. Want to be seen. Yeah, they wasn't going to be seen. They wasn't going to be seen playing in no bowls. So
now, do you think is it worse? Does it prove a point now that you know they already had they went through the little situation what they went through and they still finished undefeated?
They lost seven guys. They lost seven major guys. And Urban said that he got the right guy to fill those spots. So he's looking for Ohio State to do great things this year. I can't wait to see them play. They only lost seven major guys. That was it.
Yeah, Ohio State is going to be a problem. But
they got the top quarterback in this school.
Yeah, as long as they steer clear of them tattoo shops, they're going to be all right.
Can't, I can't wait to see them play.
As long as they stay away from them tattoo shops, they're gonna be good. They'll be good money.
I think they got Notre Dame.
Hold on, I'm gonna look at their schedule. Ohio State plays. They don't play Notre Dame this year.
They play Michigan.
Their last game of the season. They play at the Big House. Yeah.
Yep. They got August. I know they start August. Who they play August? That game in August.
Their first game is August 31st against Buffalo.
Yeah, I studied the schedule. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I know they play starting August.
Yeah.
But their
conference games start like the end of September. They play Wisconsin, Northwestern, Iowa, Penn State, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. But yeah, Ohio State's gonna be nice.
Their schedule don't
look too tough either, man.
They don't. That's
I'm looking at their schedule like, yo, what is this?
Yeah.
They got a bunch. I mean, they got some cream puffs, yo.
Buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo. Yes.
Turner Gill.
Mhm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yup. Yup. Exactly. Exactamundo. Yes, man.
And Urban came in here, and those guys that won the play, whatever, they didn't know, and they got that same thing, got hit with the Penn State, and they had to miss out on the bowl game, but they were 12-0.
Sure, that's a good feeling, too.
That would be a good feeling. You finished 12-0. Braxton Miller is the truth. I think he should get some Heisman consideration.
Man, they need to do some about that, because sure, Buffalo, sure, Ohio State, we'll come to the horseshoe. So y'all can beat us 70 nuts for a nice little fee.
Yep, and we'll take this piece of change with us on our way out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll take this because Buffalo's coming there.
They're coming to get put to the woodshed, and they know
they
it.
They coming to get that whooping. They coming to get that money. They coming to see the band make the big O.
you see they got South Carolina ranked a little higher this year.
Yeah, y'all trying to reel me in. I'm not really ready to get into my college football stuff, but y'all reeling me in. I like it. I think Spurrier's gonna have them ready. Clowney's coming back.
Yeah, they are doing something.
What do you think? What do you think about the kid that he got drafted by the 49ers, Lattimore? Do you think he's gonna, amount to anything after his knee injury and things of that nature, or you just think that he's gonna,
I don't think he's going to amount to anything. He's going to have to get right first. I don't think he's going to be able to go far like he's going to be off that knee injury. I'm looking at Lacey. They were talking about Lacey with the toe, with the foot problem.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see him run that ball against the defense. So they're going to, I can't wait to see that bad toe. I wanted to pick him, but Tomlin and them were studying. They didn't like the toe. They didn't like his foot injury.
Right.
So Packers, it is what it is, but I want to see him run against that.
I think that they know what they're doing,
Yeah.
But I think that if it would have been a situation where they were playing on turf, because the Steelers, Hines is natural grass.
Yep.
So unless his toe was really, really, it was a situation where they just like, nah, we ain't going to deal with this. And they went defense. I think that dude is going to be a beast, that dude that y'all got in linebacker.
He got that look in his eye like
he ready to get it in.
Yeah.
He can't wait to hit Ray Rice.
Yeah, he is. I can't wait for Dallas to get off that chill. I can't wait for him to play. I'm so ready.
But you see,
Seattle's already going to start off with 10 weeks. Well, fine now. Well, they're going to be suspended.
Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna really get into a lot of football because y'all trying to reel me in and I'm not ready for that right now. But I appreciate the vibe and all that. You're not gonna trick me into talking football. I know you. But it's all good, man.
646-200-3838
is the math, man. Press 1 and get in on the conversation. We going in. Yeah, I'll get ready to ask Rodney Z right now. What do you think in regards to your Detroit Tigers? And I know you heard about the breaking news, right? They about to put that list out, my dude.
Yes. Hey, you know what? And I ain't trying to be funny, but remember about a couple of weeks ago when Cabrera went on that home run spree?
Yeah.
And I said to myself, we was on the sports page, and somebody said something about Cabrera, and I was like, damn, is he on that juice? And I was and I kept saying that to myself, and I was like, wow. And
as a Tiger fan, you should be appalled if somebody tried to say your man is because when they said something like that about Robinson Cano, I was about to snuff somebody, man. Word to mother, yo. I'm like, if you have a good year, or if you do something that's kind of like outside the norm, they try to connect you to some, you know, underhanded or whatever. But usually, you know what though, Rodney? 8 times out of 10, they're usually right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's you feel like, you know, Robinson Cano, nah. But you know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do. Everybody's suspect. Everybody's suspect.
Everybody.
You know what I mean? And that's a shame. It's a shame, but everybody's suspect.
In steroids era, man. You got like 10 home run hitters. Everybody outside of King Griffey Jr. is dirty.
I'm going to name a name, and I did this before on my show. Shout out to, you know, everybody that's calling and listening, man. Word is bond. We try to get into and have serious, in-depth conversations right here about the world of sports and all that.
I saw it. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Rodney Z, you remember Brady Anderson?
Played for Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
Real quick.
Remember Brady Anderson? What kind of player was Brady Anderson?
Didn't he make it to the All-Star game about 3 or 4 times?
And he had one year when he hit 50 home runs one year.
Yeah, 50 home runs, right.
And never was to be heard of again. And all of a sudden, the bubbling, it was below the surface about the steroids and this and that. Brady Anderson came out of nowhere, hit 50 home runs, and was never heard of again. Now, he's a person that kind of like, to me, they got away with it. Not saying that he did anything or whatever, but his name never got mentioned. But he did.
Yeah,
he had his good years, and he got out.
When Bob was playing with Pittsburgh, he was skinny. Well, all of a sudden, the next year, he gains 40 pounds and all his muscle. Now, if didn't nobody understand that, then I used to scratch my head. I'm like, dang, how did he get so big so fast?
You know, I mean, but, you know, before the situation went down when they said the PEDs were illegal, they were all in Mark McGwire's locker. They were looking at him every day when they was interviewing that dude.
If you go back and watch
the highlights of interviews that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro and all of them did back in the days at their lockers, you can see the locker full of that stuff. Nobody was saying
the
word.
About it is. Baseball need to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, they do.
You remember when the World Series got canceled? They needed that home run. They needed the Bonds. They needed the McGuires. They needed the Sosas. The Palmeiros. They was hitting all them home runs, and especially with the home run race with McGuire. Everybody's throwing their hands up there. Baseball thought that was the best thing that happened to them.
But now they don't want to have nothing to do with him. Mark McGwire, you know, he came back and made a little name for himself or whatever. He's doing his thing or whatever. I think he was like the hitting coach of the St. Louis Cardinals or something like that.
St.
Right
Louis.
Now.
But
I mean, what about your man Palmeiro that I did not take that, you know, drug or whatever. And he was lying. You know, Sammy Sosa wanna forget that he understands English. You know what I'm saying? And Canseco was telling on all of them.
Manny?
Yeah, and he was telling on all of them. So, I mean, you know, Bud Selig got some stuff to deal with on his hands. This is about to get a whole lot worse. You know, that. And Kia, you said you saw the list?
Bud Selig's supposed to be retiring next year, don't he?
No, I think Bud Selig's got another year left.
Okay, because I heard they were talking about having Bob, trying to get Bob Costas as commissioner.
Yeah. They definitely need somebody as far as the next commissioner. They definitely need somebody that, you know, that has foresight and that's really not really – that's kind of like outside of baseball. They could give like a fresh pair of eyes to it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you get somebody that's baseball connected. Huh?
I know y'all two Yankee fans. And how do y'all feel about A-Rod being on the books for at least $20 million for the next 4 years, the next 5 years?
A-Rod sucks. I knew A-Rod
He's stealing money,
but it's okay.
He's not the only person stealing money, but the Yankees finally admitted it, though.
It's a disappointment, man. You know what I mean?
And
I'm a Yankee fan.
22 next year, 21, 21, 20.
But that's their money. That's their money. If they want to pay, if that's what they get for their buck, then so be it. You know what I'm saying? But I just figure that a lot of this stuff, man, you know, is coming. It's like the chickens coming home to roost, my dude. You praise them, and then all of a sudden you find out that they was cheating. Now you tied into them now. Wait, who's going to take A-Rod off your hands? We stuck
nobody.
With A-Rod. He's a piece of office furniture. That's all he is right now. He's going to probably end up going back to shortstop. You know, I just don't understand what this doing. I always said that about A-Rod. Even when, you know, we won the World Series with him, he got an MVP and all that. A-Rod,
he look like he don't care. He don't look like he just don't care. Like he just don't.
It's over for him. Just, it's over. It's over for him. All that, the home run record and all that's done. That's dead. That's dead. It's out the window. All that, you know, that stuff that you, your career, your better days are behind you, dog. Now you just got to live down this stigma now and try to come back and be some kind of value. I don't know what we're going to get out of him. And that's just real talk. I'm not, you know, I've got no pie in the sky and all that. And he makes himself look bad. He makes himself look bad. And even when when A-Rod was, you know, just coming to the Yankees or whatever, I was like, yo, Jeter does stuff that A-Rod would never dream of doing. He wouldn't do. A-Rod is too pretty to dive in the stands and get your face all messed up. A-Rod is too pretty to think on his feet. A-Rod would never be Derek Jeter. Never.
And then, you know, watching him, he got that type of look like, I had to come to the ballpark today. They bothered me, you know, type of deal. I could be doing something else better than playing for the Yankees.
And he sets himself up for so much drama, like when they was playing in Toronto. When somebody hit a chopper and the ball was in the air and A-Rod was running from second to third, I don't know if you recall it, where the ball was in the air and the Blue Jays are trying to field the ball and he ran past them screaming, like, ah, trying to scare them or something. And like, what is that about? You know, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, A-Rod just does stupid stuff. Stupid, stupid, stupid stuff. And him and Jason Veritek got into it where the Red Sox and the Yankees had a fight. I was like, look at A-Rod. A-Rod ain't going to do nothing. A-Rod is soft. I'm just kidding it like it is, man.
No chaser, none of that.
No subliminals, none of that monkey stuff right there. Because I'm a Yankee fan, and my feelings are hurt. If George Steinbrenner was alive today, A-Rod wouldn't be on the Yankees. If George Steinbrenner was alive, A-Rod wouldn't be on the Yankees. A-Rod definitely wouldn't be on the Yankees, yo. You're brilliant.
What was they thinking about when they gave him that contract, though?
They didn't want nobody else to have
goodness.
Him.
Goodness.
Because he was
going
to go to the Red Sox. They didn't want the Red Sox to get him. They didn't want the Angels to get him. This is before Arnie Moreno woke up and decided to spend some money on Albert Pujols. Because he couldn't get A-Rod. And now, and another thing about it, I never called him A-Rod. He was like more like C-plus Rod. I don't know where this A-Rod stuff come from.
What A-Rod is a niche for his first name. You know what that is.
Yeah, but he don't play like it though. Like B minus Rod.
That's the Yankees black sheep for the family. That's their A-Rod thing. Nothing they can do about it.
I just can't believe it, man.
I know. Ain't nothing. Gotta soak it out.
Yeah, and we just gotta, you know, kind of like make the most out of what's going on right now, and hopefully that, you know, we can, you know,
because we
already discussed that they're gonna make the salary gonna go down to $189 million next year, so
next year.
It's gonna get crazy. I don't know what to say about the Yankees. You know?
I don't know, but you know the good thing is Jeter Boot came off. He's practicing.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing, so you know we're ready for him to come back.
I just think that the Yankees they got some work to do, man. And the dog days is getting ready to come.
The dog days is getting ready to come.
I got my Billy Martin and Phil Rizzuto prayer beads out.
I'm just saying,
I got my Sparky Lyle prayer beads.
It's gonna be bad, but it's not gonna be that bad. You gotta weather that storm.
All right, we're gonna switch gears for a second. Saul Canelo Alvarez and Floyd Mayweather, September 14th. What's your thoughts? They're like, I'm on Facebook. Thoughts? shout out to the big homie Rich, and shout out to Miss Lavina behind the board and all that. I didn't get to get that plug in, but we have. But there you go. There you go.
You know what's so interesting? Somebody put up that I saw, like they were talking about all Floyd's fighters that he played, that he fought.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at their records and their knockouts. These guys had some major knockouts on their career. You know, like major knockouts on their career. All Floyd fighters. They had some of them were like 20 knockouts, 22, 30 knockouts. So I'm just arguing when they were saying Floyd really didn't fight nobody and stuff like that.
Right.
And he's running from Pacquiao. I guess they still say he's running from Pacquiao. Do you think he's running from Pacquiao?
It don't matter no more. It don't even matter no more.
The luster and the hunger for that fight is gone.
If that was this time last year, I would have been ordering it. But if that fight was come on tomorrow, oh well.
And I think that, you know, this is just my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? I believe that Floyd Mayweather is gonna get the most out of this little deal that he got with Showtime, and I think he's gonna eventually. It's out there. It's still out there. And a whole lot of other stuff factors into it now. Like you said, Rodney, you know, the thrill for it is gone or whatever. If Mayweather could beat Canelo Alvarez, I say if, and a lot of people say, well, Floyd is not going to pick a fighter that he thinks that he can lose to.
That contract with Showtime, no. Because, you know, if he come on six times, he going at least the first five, he going to want something that keep his money rolling in for Showtime.
That's what I'm saying. So do you look at it as a situation where, you know, they just lining them up with some ducks or they're really lining them up a real competition? I think that's the question for this, because this fight is going to be at a catch weight. So
What is Alvarez's record?
Canelo Alvarez is 42-0.
Okay.
You know, and he's younger, and he's going to be bigger than Floyd. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting nothing out there yet. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, Floyd makes it look real easy, but all the fluctuation in the weight and things of that nature, and the pressure is going to be all in the Whitney's fights. And I still think that Pacquiao is going to be in there some kind of way. This is my opinion. If he wants to maximize the revenue potential, look at how I'm sounding like this. Look at this.
Well, Pacquiao,
if he wants to make the most money out of the deal, then I think that you got to put a Pacquiao fight in there some kind of way.
But on Pacquiao's defense, he better not lose no more fights before he even gets to Floyd.
I just think that and Manny's got a fight coming up soon. I think it's in October or November, if I'm not mistaken.
What would happen if he got knocked out again?
I looked at that whole situation with Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, they moved that fight back to October 12th. Marquez was supposed to fight Timothy Bradley, and they moved that fight back to October 12th because of the Mayweather fight. That fight was supposed to be originally on September 14th. They just said, you know what? If Floyd decides that he wants to fight on September 14th, y'all SOL. So they moved that fight to Bradley and Marquez are fighting on October 12th. Manny Pacquiao's fighting November 23rd against Brandon Rios. So, you know, he's got to stay busy. So now 2013 is gone. So here comes 2014. So now what? Now who steps into the picture? Do you have your Broners in the picture? I hear your man Andre Berto is chirping about he want to get at Floyd. You know, Amir Khan, he's moving to welterweight. He want to get at Floyd. So it's kind of like, you know, like Floyd says, I think I do agree with him when he says it's like a lottery ticket. You know, all these fighters are sitting trying to position themselves so they can get at that big pay-per-view event. You know, and there's no, and there's nothing out there. And like you said, you know, the, you know, if they put the pack, if they announced the Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather was fighting in the middle of the street, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people be like, oh, okay, whatever. Nobody cares about it no more. They're just fighting in the middle of the street, like Craig and Debo. Then nobody care about that because the interest is gone. So I just think that Floyd's got to do what he's got to do. He's got to line up these other, you know, young cats and try to put Pacquiao out the picture. And I think, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, so Floyd's got to, you know, see who he's going to fill up his dance card with and see if he's going to make it happen for himself. It's going down here, man. After further review, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You got the mayor in the building. You got Kia in the house. My man Rodney Z is in the building. So, Rod, man, let's back to some baseball, man. Your Tigers, you kind of perturbed at the mayor because I don't include the Tigers, and I'm sorry about that. But I just think that in the top 10, I didn't put the Tigers because they, you know, they were like 3-7 in their last 10. Even though they were in first place, I respect that. But I just didn't think that, you know, that I would put them in the top 10. And as far as the situation I did tonight, oh, Rodney's gone. Rodney left. Okay. See you later, Rodney. I ain't like talking about the Tigers anyway. Holler at me later.
I'm right here.
Oh, it said Rodney is gone.
No.
Miss Lavina, give yourself a round of applause. Thank you very much. All right. Now, what was I saying about the Tigers? They're such a good team. Valverde is doing his numbers. Oh, Mr.
No, Valverde sucks. The last couple of weeks, Valverde. That's weak. Hey, they gonna need him a closer by the end of the trade deadline.
I thought you had a closer. I thought Valverde was your closer.
Valverde gave up a two run. Valverde then gave up the last two saves. Matter of fact, he gave up a two run lead in Baltimore the other night.
Blew another save. That was yeah. That's my man Ziggy's in the building. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, man. So I just think that, you know, as the weather warms up, man, you know, a lot of everything's going to kind of fall into place. I was kind of like twisted because the Mets swept my Yankees last week, but you know, everybody has a birthday. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I'm a lot closer to first place than the Mets are, so I'm not worried about that. You know, you take the bitter with the sweet right now. But
didn't they lose to the Yankees? Didn't the following week they got swept by what's the name? Didn't they get swept by the Mets?
Oh, the Mets?
Yeah.
It was Florida.
Wasn't that a four game series?
Yeah, that's what
they
was talking about.
I think they played Florida and got swept.
Yeah, Michael was talking about that when he was like they swept the Yankees and then they turned around and get swept.
Yeah, and that dude, it was a pitcher for the Mets that was talking junk about the Yankees. He was on Twitter talking about the Yankees got swept, the Mets, the sanitation department or something, and they
exactly
swept the Yankees.
That's what they were talking about. And then when they got swept by the Marlins, he ain't had nothing to say in his Twitter.
Yeah,
nothing
to say, because he was the one that got rocked. Yeah, he was the one that got rocked.
Yup, that's the conversation that they brought up with Al. That's the conversation that they brought up. He didn't say nothing. They were hammering him on Twitter, and he didn't say nothing. Yup.
That's all right, though. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, everybody goes through it.
You know,
everybody goes through it. So now it's 9:18 on a Tuesday night. It goes down. We got no NBA until Thursday night. NHL just dropped puck about 9:00 with the Blackhawks and the Kings, and we have a score already. 14:50 left in the first period. Kings won. Blackhawks nothing. I think the Kings gotta make
report.
A series out of it. Yeah, they scored. It's 1-0. So we got.
Hey,
like,
I want to know what's going on with what's up with Pittsburgh? What's up with the
Pittsburgh Penguins?
Penguins, yes sir.
They showing up. They got problems with goals. Fleury's giving up mad goals. Then Volkoon came in. He was giving up mad goals. So they went back to Fleury. They're gonna go back to Fleury for tomorrow night.
Yeah, because I was switching that between that and the game last night, and I looked up. Was like, wow.
Yeah,
it was 3-1, then it's 4-1, then it's 5-1,
and
then I was,
whoa. They catch in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh got all them guys,
man.
They
ain't going to come back and get this one. They'll come back and regroup.
And nobody's showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of surprised, man. I'm like, you know, Sidney Crosby.
I am surprised.
Will show up. You know, where's Malkin? They got no points. Where's Jerome McGinley?
Nothing.
You know what
nothing.
I mean?
They'll be fine.
Nah, I mean, you know, up there, you know, they're down 2-0, and
yeah,
you know, they got time to come back. But I think that they're playing the next couple of games in Boston, so it's gonna be hard. Keep hope alive and all that good stuff right there. But it's gonna be hard for the Penguins.
Boston can be beat at home, so I don't worry about that. Anybody can be
beat at
home.
Yeah, I mean, Boston can be at home, but I would feel a lot better if the series was one apiece. It's like they're skating in quicksand.
They're playing bad. They're playing real bad, and I can't believe. I can't believe that nothing is showing up, but they got to regroup. They got to get that mentality back. Go to Boston, get through. Go to Boston, come back to Pittsburgh. That's all they have to do.
We'll see. You heard it here first. Boston's going to still be strong.
Remember when Pittsburgh was going to make it happen.
I think that would be a good series if Pittsburgh decides to show up.
Go back to the Rangers. Remember that conversation you had about the Rangers, about when when he cursed when he was talking, and I said, what? They're going to bust him? You said they're not going to get, you know, he was saying that. I didn't think they were going to get rid of him either.
When that came across on ESPN,
when they showed it, y'all was the first two people I thought about, because I remember what y'all said last week.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming either. But again, you know, some people don't go for that,
pissed.
You know, in your face.
I knew he was, because you don't sit the Richards, and he was sitting Richards, and I knew
it if Richards wasn't playing and doing what he was supposed to be doing, then why, you know what I mean, give a buck? Because even with Rick Nash, he's a big money dude, and he ain't show up either. And again, like you said, I just think it was a thing where it was something like, I liked Tortorella. I liked his style. I liked how
he,
you ask him a question, he's going to tell you what it is.
That's one thing I like about him.
He might not have a PG-rated vocabulary or whatever, but that's what it is.
But maybe
that rubs some people the wrong way, and that's cool.
Did.
It's all right. You know what I'm saying?
How much different
do they think it's going to be if Mark Messier is going to be the Rangers coach?
You think he'll get the job? I don't know.
That's going to be a tough call.
But you know
that's
what? Lindquist was sick about the Richard sit. I remember a lot of players that were
sick. But also, but you know what though, with the King, he also kind of like, you know, he didn't have the best series in the world either now.
Right.
You know, he was giving up some easy goals I saw there in a couple of them games, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he's well within his rights to feel like, you know, that Tortorella, you know, especially him about signing long term with the Rangers and all that, if that's something that he wants to be a part of, you know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, the Rangers is kind of like you said, from the inside out. Because, like you said, you looked at it from a perspective of, why is he sitting here? Why is he doing that? I'm looking at it from a perspective of that's who he is, and that, you know, if he's not playing, he's going to sit you. And, you know, he got let go, like you said.
I think he was because everybody's asking him, why are you sitting Richard? Why is Richard sitting? They were pounding him with these questions, and he was saying this and everything. And then when he cursed them that day after they won, he said that, he was talking. And I knew after the Rangers lost that game, what would you talk about? I said, watch. I got a feeling. He's gone. Because of Richard. And then when Link was seven, he said, next thing you know, when I text you, when I told you, he's gone.
Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, the Rangers, you know, again, if they're going to, you know, let Tortorella go, who are they going to get to replace him? And Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky wants to coach the Rangers.
I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah, Wayne Gretzky wants to throw his hat in the ring. He used to coach before. He used to coach Phoenix Coyotes. So I don't understand. Yeah, he wants to go.
If you want to go legacy, you give it to legacy. You don't give it to
Gretzky. You know what I like about You know what I like about what Gary Bettman did in the NHL playoffs? Mm. Well, if this would have been basketball and he'd have been playing in L.A., the game when it came on West Coast time, it wouldn't have came on till 11:00, 10:30.
Mm. Mm.
But at least now for the East Coast people, hockey actually started it kind of a little early at 9:00.
Well, it ain't like they doing nothing else at the Staples Center. I'm sorry. Like they ain't doing nothing else. It ain't like the Lakers or the Clippers got playoff games or nothing like that. I'm sorry. Shout out to Kobe. You know.
Yeah,
but,
you know me. Listen,
we about to get into the meat of the situation, you know, right now. I see Kia, you ain't slick. You try to draw me out, and every time I'll try to get out, they try to just draw me right back in. We got, like, a half hour to go. I want to get in some football talk. I said I wasn't going to do it.
My baby.
It's the OTAs. We're going to do our own version of the OTAs. It's the After Further Review OTAs. It's going down right now. Could we get a round of applause for that, please? Nobody's going to get hurt. No contact. We're just going to talk about it a little bit. This is the After Further Review OTA. So now we're going to set this off. I'm going to let the Steeler fan in the building get their little talk on and speak their mind.
Let me ask you one question. I'm going to ask
you. Go ahead.
Do you think Jay-Z company broke rules? You think it was a violation?
Well, I mean, in regards to that, I think that if the NFL says or they say that you have to be a certified agent before you can deal in any situation, then yeah. Because Jay-Z
you know
is not a certified agent.
Nope. And Dingo took a picture. He posted
and,
his Instagram.
And you know,
Roger
Goodell, I don't know how deep Roger Goodell is going to look into it. I know, you know, Roger Goodell is going to, you know, do what he has to do. And then David Stern is going to do his due diligence, even though it's an NFL situation or whatever. But again, Jay, I can't even really, you know, put my fingers on that because, you know, they know what they're doing. And apparently they don't know what they're doing. That's a real sticky situation right there. You don't want to get yourself caught up in that. You know what I mean? Because dealing with rules and things of that nature, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. And you're making a lot of people mad. And I wish the homie Slate was still on the line. So we could get into
it. And the killer thing about it, Jay-Z is, he's slapping, he's actually taking Drew Rosenhaus, the biggest agent out there. He actually taking his clients away from him. So I know
I don't understand what's the big use for cats like Drew Rosenhaus anyway. If you're gonna negotiate your deal and you need somebody to really go in there and talk for you, then that's you, because you know how much you want to get paid. You know what I'm saying? So Drew Rosenhaus is sitting back. Drew Rosenhaus got all these athletes, all these top name athletes. Okay, he's getting 8 to 10% from each one of them. He don't got to do nothing but run off at the yak. But that athlete better produce, because when you had T.O. in the driveway doing sit ups and push ups and all that craziness, you're putting on a show. That's all you're doing is selling. So when your usefulness is run out, and somebody else coming telling you like, yo, why you got this dude around you, yo? He don't have nothing in common with you. And you know that's how they're kicking it to these athletes, because look at the athletes that Rock is signing. Rock ain't signing nobody over 30 years old.
Yeah.
The Rock is messing with everybody that's young, everybody that they can influence. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with what Jay is doing, but Jay needs to get his priorities right, and Jay needs to do the right thing, because they're looking
crazy
to get at Jay.
Yeah, because you know when he had to have papers in and out of office on this situation Friday, and I know what that is. So you compromise anything with any bad dealings, you get caught out there, you in trouble.
And this is the shield that we talk about, Rodney. You know the deal. They're not having that. They already looked at the situation with Jay and over there in the NBA. Okay, with that situation. So they had to make sure all their I's is dotted, all their T's is crossed. They got to make sure that. And now you're doing a runner's job. You're doing a job. You're running athletes. You know, you're diverting them over to your agency and stuff like that. You're not certified. You can't do that.
And Gino put that picture right on Instagram. He put that picture on Instagram, and not less than 4 days later, he was signed with Jay-Z.
And then it's like, I don't understand why, you know, you're dealing in a world that you have no idea about.
No idea.
It's not a situation where it's like, and no disrespect to these cats, and I know them personally, man, and no disrespect to Leor, no disrespect to Drew Ha. Them cats, they do their business, they do their due diligence, and they did in a situation where they can explain it to cats like you and me. And now we're not dealing with what color they are, who they are, where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
They talking language,
mm-hmm.
and they communicating with us in a language that we can both understand. Drew Rosenhaus, the only thing Drew Rosenhaus is talking to about these athletes with is money and his percentage, and to make sure he get his. T.O., you better do your numbers. You better do your numbers.
Out,
you want
yeah.
this contract? You want this and that?
Number.
You better do your numbers.
Yep.
T.O. is ready. You see him in the driveway pumping iron and doing sit-ups mm-hmm. and all this craziness. He's ready to get CERN. Ain't put a cleat on. Ain't put no shoulder pads on or nothing, but he's ready because Drew Rosenhaus said so.
My thing is, can Jay-Z sit in the front of league officials explain stuff when they come to him and questions about this? Because he can't have an attorney ask him questions.
He's gonna have to because you know they're not gonna let this go away. They're definitely not gonna let it go away because you know it's the integrity. The integrity word is gonna come up.
And
they don't want to have nothing that's gonna question the integrity.
And
NFL,
he tainted. If he broke that, he will be always one. Every time he hits somebody, he'll be always one.
Yeah. And then you know, again, Rod and Kia, you know, and the listeners, no doubt, man. It's a thing where, you know, you got this dude that's, you know, giving away Mercedes Benzes and things of that nature to these athletes. They really don't have that to offer. So now you got this young cat coming in out the clear blue sky and infringing on our territory. They're not going to have that.
They're not.
And it's not a lot of them that look like Jay that's doing that. So they, you know, they already feel some kind of way because they, you know, Jay has that connect. With that, you know, that younger athlete, they can talk that language, you know, and Jay can, you know, show them things and do things, and it's always the bigger picture. It's not just about football. It's not just about baseball for Cano, you know what I mean? It's not just about hoops for Skylar Diggins, you know what I'm saying? So it's always with the bigger picture in mind that they already have in focus that Drew Rosenhaus got to catch up.
Yeah,
Drew Rosenhaus is worried about what you do on the field.
When
is Drew Rosenhaus
like
really
this,
trying to get you that commercial? Is Drew Rosenhaus trying to get you a summer jam? No. You know what I'm saying? So they lose in touch. This is the new era of the new agent, I guess. But Jay got to do it right, though.
He came in doing it the wrong way. You do it the wrong way. You get caught out there with lying and stuff like that. That's the same thing with anything. Like SEC, I work for SEC. You come there, you lying, we don't catch you. So shut that line about the book because you're going to get caught.
Right.
And you're going to have to come out there, open his mouth, and say what he did because he's lying and come back to back. He can never do it.
And then if they really want to get raggedy, they can really go do some, you know, some backpacking, checking, and all of this. It's going to get crazy.
Daddy, you got to tell you that's what they're doing. I got to tell you right now that's what they're doing.
Sometimes you just gotta play your position, man. You know,
maybe he got some people
that's knowledgeable about that situation, and maybe they can educate him on how to go about it. But I think they should have did that before they even stuck their foot in that pool.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You would thought that his people would have said something to him.
Right. You know, so, you know, they have to do that, like we've been talking all this whole show. We've been talking about people doing their due diligence, man.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to hire people to do this. You got all that money. You ain't going to hire the best attorney to try to research this and try to get this and make sure the papers are in order.
Right.
You're going to go out here and talk to an athlete and think that they're going to allow you to do something because your name is Stacy.
Right.
This is business.
Hey, I just think that, you know, a lot of times that, you know, they put the cart before the horse, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
it's not the music business you're dealing with now, my dude. You know, this is a whole totally different thing.
Roger Goodell is an attorney by background. He knows he believes he's a stick with the law because he's an attorney by background. He's an attorney, so that's
mm-hmm.
not the way he is.
Yeah, I just think that a lot of these cats are now waking up to the fact that, you know, somebody that, you know, who looks like them, who talks like them,
uh-huh.
you know, have the same interests that they have, is interested in them, you know, as an athlete, and to help them find other revenues and other avenues for them to, you know, make more money or whatever. And it sounds more interested than, you know, hanging around with the Drew Rosenhauses of the world. You know, 'cause how many parties can you go to with Drew Rosenhaus? They're not there to see Drew Rosenhaus. They're there to see you. So if you go to a function or something with Jay, you know, okay, you're the ball player, you're the athlete or whatever, but, oh, snap, your agent is Jay-Z. That's a whole – now, that sets up a whole different conversation. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's inclusive. It's not like, well, okay, Drew Rosenhaus is going to go over here to the side to see if he can recruit some more athletes while you over here talking. Nah. Y'all all in it together.
And the thing about it, he can't be a certified agent. He can't be one because the NFL got their own list. I'm like, trying to figure out, why did he think he was going to get?
Because he didn't know no better. And that goes on him and the people that's in his camp.
That does. I said to myself, how did Stacey not know that the NFL got a registered list? That's the law right there.
Mm-hmm.
Who did not tell Jay-Z there was a register list that NFL go by guidelines? I said, he is not above any law. Just like any law. He gets going out there, he going to be painted.
Right. But I just hate to see that happen, and that just confuses the issue.
I do too, because I'm everything best whatever, but you don't do stuff thinking you can just go in there and get who you think you can get. No.
Mm-hmm.
You follow guidelines, dude. Yeah. Dude, you gotta follow guidelines. Same thing. You got a business in your company, whatever. Somebody's doing something, whatever. You under Fortune 500, and you go private, and you become public. SEC is good. Got every right to check whatever you doing something wrong. You adding something, and you gotta come in for the book.
And it's like breaking up the monopoly, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Mar-a-Bell had everything on Smash. They had the telephone on Smash. So it was like, nah, they got tired of it, and they figured out a way to crack that monopoly that Mar-a-Bell had. And once they did that, now they opened up the floodgates for everybody. And instead of trying to box people out, you know what I mean, and keep people out, that's going to get them hungry to want to take your spot. And once your spot is taken, what you going to do? What you going to do?
Very interesting.
So I see you got your predictions popping off already. So I see you got your predictions popping off already.
I'm just doing my fantasy because I'm doing the fantasy thing here because I've been I was keeping for a book, so I've been getting, trying to figure out how I'm gonna pick my fantasy pick. But then I was looking at some other teams. I'm looking at Seattle because I'm trying to figure out what Seattle. You know how I do. I got to study teams and make sure I know who's playing, who's going to be suspended the first week. Who's healthy enough to play? You know, looking at Boston coming over, he's not an OTA. Nick and Cruz not showing up to make the top. I'm on his tits right now because they're not showing up OTA.
Well, I mean, if you didn't have a contract in your pocket, would you show up?
No, I'm just saying.
Would you show up
OTA? I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree. You're totally right.
And that's exactly what picks you up as a fan, because you know when we pop you to play reckless football and you drop more passes than you catch, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're never gonna, you know, please everybody 100%. You know what I'm saying?
And once again,
it's been so many instances. If I'm an NFL owner, I would be leery too, man. Because there's so many instances that once they get the money, it's not the same. It's very few that, you know, once they get their money, they, you know, they keep the same level of consistency, and it starts to wane, you know. And you remember all those instances with those cats. Like, I said it before, and I'll say it again, Sean Alexander. He's always sticks out like a sore thumb.
That was the same.
When he got his money, it was a wrap.
That's what I said about Chris Johnson when he got hit, when he whined about his money.
Yeah,
and
a lot of cats, you know, it's just about the money. And then after a couple of years go by, you get to kind of like analyze and see what they've been and what they, you know, where they're going and what they've been through.
I want to see what Wallace do, because you know what? He wanted Chris Charles money and he wanted Megatron. I heard through the grapevine
that you got Buffalo winning the AFC East.
I'm just saying. I just think something about Buffalo, and he going down.
Tell me something about Buffalo.
Manuel.
Because you know what, actually, Key, I picked them last year to win the AFC.
Okay, my fault though. I didn't pick them last year.
I got laughed at.
Well, I don't care. You know, I don't care. I just you picked them last year. I didn't say nothing.
I picked them last year to win the division. But,
I picked them this year to win the division.
Huh?
I said I'm picking them this year. You picked them last year.
You picked Buffalo, so you believe in E.J. Manuel like that?
No, I don't believe in him. I just think it's something going to be about that they can win that division. And you picked him last year. You thought something.
I don't think.
Yeah, I thought Mario Williams was going to do his thing.
I thought Mario Williams
was going to come there and rock them to sleep.
I don't think Jim Kelly and Thurmo is coming out the field.
No, Andre Reed, Dal Talley.
Andre Reed.
Ain't none of them coming through the door.
If you picked them last year, because you
thought
Mario Williams.
Yeah, I picked them last year. I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to do something.
Yeah.
I like the defense. Had Mario Williams,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I thought that, you know, New England was going to take a step back, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I little do I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to throw an interception. I think they played the Jets the first game of the season. They ran. I was like, dude, they did that. It was like 21-0 in the first quarter. I was like, oh, man, there goes my Buffalo pick. You know? And Mario Williams didn't do nothing.
I want to know how Chan Gailey get another job. How in the world did he get another
job? He got the complexion for the protection. You know?
All these retreads.
Yeah, you know. But I think in football, man, everything is a trend, man. If you're known for being an offensive dude or defensive dude, you're going to stay with a job. Because, like, the one that bugged me out was Mark Trestman. I remember Mark Trestman from back in the day.
Yeah, he was
I remember that. Like, oh, they really
Montana,
was digging in the crates when they got him. They found Mark. I was like, oh, I thought Mark Trestman was in the witness protection program or something. They found him. I was like, okay.
You remember he used to be the quarterback guru for 49ers?
Yes. I remember Mark Trestman when I don't know if you remember this dude that what was his name? He used to play for the Rams. He played number five. Came from the CFL. I can't remember his name. Now it's going to escape me. Mark Trestman was supposed to be their quarterback coach. He was supposed to be this dude that was supposed to be know all this innovative stuff or whatever. Come to find out, he was like Maxwell Smart. You know what I mean? He was like Maxwell Smart. He ain't really know nothing. But
did you see the they were talking about Woodson. Because you know he wanted to go play with Denver, and that came out because Peter King had the interview, but Denver wasn't going to guarantee that money. But the Raiders,
Charles Woodson.
Yep. Yeah. Denver said they're not guaranteed that money because they don't guarantee it because they did their research.
Yeah, they got some John Elway ain't playing. John Elway, you know what I'm saying? We got all this money in these other cats right
now.
John
Elway was a smart guy. He wanted to play with Denver because Peter King, and I was reading the article and stuff like that. Peter King. Denver wasn't guaranteeing that money. They said
no.
He went to Oakland.
Oakland.
Yep. Mm. Oakland was the only team going to guarantee. So we should go ahead and say, well, he had all these teams or whatever. That no, he didn't. That wasn't going to guarantee was money. That came
well,
out.
If,
so
I mean,
can't deny
you
that.
Know,
yeah.
And I just think that if he'd have went to Denver, that secondary would have been nice.
Right, but they were going to guarantee.
That secondary would have been crazy if Charles Woodson would have went to Denver. But
they
he did, so
him.
he went to Oakland, so he still gets to go to Denver. He still got to go to Denver.
Right,
so,
You got Seymour. I think he's trying to go to go make that deal with Atlanta, and then you got Abraham going to the Titans. It's not official yet, but this is two teams.
I don't know. I just why I didn't really, you know, I don't get into football until like maybe out in the middle of July when we get everybody in camp and we see what it is. But you know, any words about Deacon Jones? You want to say anything about Deacon Jones who passed away earlier today?
Well, he's before my stock, so I don't know nothing about him. I know his name. I'm about to say.
Just remember him and Merlin Olsen all the time.
No doubt.
That's
yeah,
it.
Man.
He the reason why that they started calling Philly for head to the face.
Mhm. I think that I was talking to somebody earlier, but like if he was around playing in this time, we really wouldn't be talking about no Michael Strahans and no Dwight Freeney's and all them dudes, because
he was the one that came up with quarterback. I sacked the quarterback.
Deacon Jones had it on Smash. I mean, he was like, again, it was a little bit before my time, but I was a little kid. I remember, you know, that name, and I remember the Rams when they had the blue and white uniforms looking all crazy. But, yeah, I do remember that, and, you know, he's a good guy, and he was in the Hall of Fame in 1980. But, yeah, you know, he's going to be missed and all that. But, again.
When I was talking to you about your OTA, your coach, being with doing the same thing with Seattle. I forgot how you explained it to me. Remember we were talking about the OTAs and they doing the hitting and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's off training.
Yeah.
It's off season activities. They just like go through stuff. It's not no.
Right.
They don't really do a lot of contact. It's just a lot of off. You know, they just go through plays. They get timing down and. You know, they work out and things of that nature. They don't do any because the contact's not going to start until like the end of this month, the beginning of July.
Right, that's exactly what
you know, and they say that they're optional, but you know, 9 times out of 10, it's like you know, it behooves you to be there.
Who wants to go to OTAs though?
It's a team bonding thing. Like, you want to get a head start and a jump on, you know, you want to get a jump on the competition,
like with Peyton and
your man Wes Welker. They're getting the timing down. They're getting things down for when camp does start. They'll be ready a little bit.
Hey, Barry never went to OTA. Matter of fact, Barry ain't never went to training camp. He waited like the last 3 weeks to training camp before he show up.
Barry can do that.
Yeah, that stuff.
You know? Yeah, Barry can do that.
Elway, you know what? Not Elway, but Peyton never went until last year, but he never went to camp.
(sighs) 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to all the listeners, man. Press 1 if you want to get in on the talk, man. You know,
I would like to say that to my surprising team this year is going to be Kansas City.
Your surprising team for this year is going to be Kansas City. Why do you say your surprising team is going to be Kansas City?
Because they got 5-6 Pro Bowlers. They was in every game last year. They got Andy Reid now, so. And all they needed was some direction.
Okay. That's the AFC West. So you think they're gonna make some noise? They're gonna be a playoff team? Or you think they just gonna make some competition? Or you think they're gonna have a chance to really, really make some noise, like a 12-4 or 11-5?
I think they're gonna win it. I'm looking for them to win the division.
Okay. All right. So you think that? So that says a lot about Alex Smith. Do you think Alex Smith is gonna have a good year?
Oh, yeah, Alex Smith. The only problem with him, he just ran into a hot Kaepernick. Outside of that, Alex Smith did not lose nothing. Did not do nothing to lose that job last year.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the NFC Championship the year before.
Right. I was Alex Smith dude. I like Alex Smith. I mean, you know, Kansas City. They it's up to them. They got to represent now. You know, they got a right coach. They got a right situation. They got a decent quarterback. You know, they got a decent very decent running game. Jamal Charles is the truth.
Jamal Charles.
They got some nice receivers.
Yes.
You know, Dwayne Bowe is all pro quality. They got Dexter McCluster, one of the fastest dudes in the league. So I just think that, you know, again, it has to come together. Their schedule is not hard. Huh?
You think he's the fastest in the league?
I say he's among the fastest in the league.
Oh, among the fastest. Okay.
Yeah, their schedule's not all that tough. Their first three games is Jacksonville, Dallas, and the Eagles. That's their first three games for Kansas City: at Jacksonville, home against Dallas, and at Philly. So that's gonna be the Andy Reid game. That's gonna be Thursday night.
What do you think about the Oregon Kelly coming in, bringing his
In Philly with Chip Kelly, if he finds a quarterback out of the ones that he has to run it,
you don't think they could run that movement offense or off the run action or the read action?
I
not
think
if
that
the offensive lineman don't, if not if not if Vic don't stand straight up, because the offensive
Vic
lineman,
don't need to stand
off,
straight up. Vic don't never need to stand straight up.
What I'm saying is, he need to be vertical. He need to be standing. He don't need to be on the ground.
Vic don't need to do nothing but have
time.
An offensive line. Vic got an offensive line. They gonna do some damage. He need an offensive line.
They didn't have one last year. Yeah, right.
Didn't I say he needs an offensive line? Vic is. I think he's gonna be the surprising quarterback this year.
So you think he's gonna win the job?
No, I'm not. I think he's gonna win the job. Of course. I guess, what's the name? We got Boyle, and this other guy.
To answer your question, if Chip Kelly, you know, again, if he finds, you know, that Michael Vick can run that offense, I think that Michael Vick could be in tune for a flashback season. You know what I mean? But again, he can't play from behind again. They can't be 0-3, 2-5, 3-8. They can't do that. They suck.
Don't sleep on Matt Barkley.
I don't think Matt Barkley is going to be. The starting quarterback on that Monday night. I think the starting quarterback on that Monday night is going to be Michael Vick.
On Kelly's play,
Vick's going to
do that.
No, I think that, you know, and again, to answer your question, I think if Vick, you know, still has the legs. You know, I think that read option would be something that maybe that they can use. If Vic is still, you know, Vic is still viable. Vic is
that's gonna be very
good,
interesting.
Michael Vick,
because this is not college. You got defensive ends running.
He got defensive ends.
And they see it coming. That's the thing. They know it's coming. That's the other thing.
Got defensive ends running 4-4-5, 6-4, 6-5, 275 running 4-4-40.
Yeah. So I mean, again, it's all up to, you know, whoever, you know, does their numbers during training camp. That's why I like, you know, again, I'm not going to sleep on Matt Barkley, but I'm not looking for Matt Barkley to be the first snap in Washington.
Offense.
They play Washington on Monday night, September 9th.
Who would ever thought that Russell Wilson was going to be that deal?
Russell Wilson was nice. He just beat out some garbage quarterbacks. Matt Flynn was a
bum.
They gave Matt Flynn all that money. Matt Flynn is a bum. They gave Matt Flynn all that money because he went in there and replaced the man for that game. He lit up the Detroit Lions secondary like 18 Christmas trees, buddy.
Right.
And he made all that money, right? Pete Carroll. Went and drafted a quarterback anyway after they signed him to all that money. They signed Matt Flynn, went and drafted Russell Wilson anyway. And Russell Wilson came and snatched the job. Who saw that? Like you said, who saw that coming? Matt Flynn ain't even there no more.
No. My thing with Russell is, he only played, you know, because he played because of his division. You saw that schedule last year? The only top team they played was the Packers and Green Bay. I mean, the Packers and
keep saying that, but you got to play with all the teams on the schedule, though.
No.
You got to play the teams on the schedule.
Packers and the Patriots is the team that they played. Everybody else is garbage
okay.
Their own division with
but
29.
Every year
is
different.
Hold on. Kia, what did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
This is what I'm saying. This is the argument that everybody's having about Russell Wilson here. He had the easiest.
That's a garbage argument because you know why? Russell Wilson's a rookie. How did he know it was easy?
Russell had the easiest schedule.
Out of the three, okay.
Who knew that, though?
When he playing, and they were talking about the teams he played against, the teams he went with.
You know what?
The only two teams he played was with the Packers
and
the Patriots. But now this year, he got
They played the 49ers twice.
I'm not talking about in the division. We don't know because
outside the division?
Outside the division.
They played the Packers and who else?
Patriots.
Okay.
The only two teams that they played were major.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Major.
Right.
But they were comparing from last year, but this year it's totally different. This is why they're going to be totally different with the teams that they're playing.
Yeah, but Kim, you got to look at it like this.
2012, they didn't have a playoff schedule. You know what I'm saying, right?
No,
but look at
their
schedule this year. They playing all
top
teams.
That's why I say the schedule is overrated.
It's the schedule.
When the schedule talk about toughness and all, that's overrated.
Any team can beat any team on any Sunday.
And if you went from a fourth place team to a first place team, you had a fourth place schedule.
You're not always gonna have a fourth place schedule.
If you go from a fourth place schedule to a first place team, if you finish at first or second, you're always gonna play the first and second teams in your conference. You know what I'm saying? So if you finish in fourth place, you're going to play all the third and fourth place teams in your conference.
But who knows, though, because in football, there's always two or three teams that's different that's coming up, that's going to come up the next year.
Okay.
It's not like basketball. You pretty much know which teams in basketball is going to be the cream of the crop.
Right.
Nobody saw Seattle
winning all them games last year. Nobody saw Seattle doing what they did. Nobody saw Washington doing what they did.
You know what I'm saying?
They saw Atlanta. Atlanta went to division playoffs and lost to Seattle.
Yeah.
Atlanta was supposed to be the Super Bowl team.
They lost
to the NFC Championship to the 49ers.
Huh?
Atlanta lost to the 49ers.
That's what I said. Seattle lost to Atlanta.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My point being, though, Rodney Z, is that, again, that schedule, that look at the schedule that they got this year. The schedule they got last year was not a first-place schedule. The schedule
that they got this year is crazy.
Okay,
they came in second place last year, so they're going to have a second-place schedule.
Yeah, they'll play the first and second team in the conference.
Who's to say that second-place schedule that they play this year is going to be garbage?
That's true too.
That's all I'm saying.
You gotta play what's on your.
This is not like college football where everybody handpicks their opponents 2 or 3 years down the road.
Right.
You got to play
As soon as the last regular season game is over in football, they already know the schedule for next year. They don't know the dates and times. Listen, we got 4 minutes left. We got 4 minutes left. Kia, speak your piece before we get out of here. We're getting closer to football.
I don't know. I mean, you know me. I'm ready for football, but get my fantasy stuff down.
That's what it is. Rodney, what you got? You got anything to say before we get out of here for a week, man?
Yeah, waiting on Thursday night for San Antonio, Miami.
Okay.
All right. Because, you know, like I said earlier, Miami is the most disrespected champion in the last 30 years.
Okay,
so
I hear you.
They got something to prove.
I hear you. That's what it is. So, yeah, man, everything is everything. Once again, another Tuesday night going down. Shout out to all the callers. My man Slate touching base, man. Kia coming through like always. My man Rodney Z Ziggy's in the building representing Michigan to the fullest. Listen, man, tomorrow night it's going down with the ladies, man. Check them out, man. Thursday night, check out the relationship situation. Friday night, check out my man Rich doing his big and all of that. Until it comes around full circle, man, next Tuesday you're going to be in the building with your man, the mayor, holding it down. We're going to definitely talk, get into some NBA finals. We should be into nice and thick into the NBA finals by this time next week. Again, look at them all-star ballots. We might be talking about that in the next couple of weeks, man. Check out the all-star game. The all-star game is July 16th. Think about, before you go to sleep tonight, think about putting something in the donation box for the mayor. Try to get the mayor out to City Field on July 16th, taking some donations. But we'll get into that next week. This is the mayor, man. GQ Palace, after further review, is in the building, man. It goes down every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out again to the big homie Rich holding it down behind the board. Shout out to Bounce Back Energy Drink and all that. Shout out to Miss Lavina behind the board. Shout out to everybody, man. This is the mayor, man, doing it once again to your ear hole and on your computer screen. Until next week, this is the mayor, man. We talk sports like we talk sports. I'm out. Peace.
virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, steps into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turn it back to water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I answer it, miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the gospel on that, turn us out, untain it. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is a diva squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Wild parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.